Well, this morning we're going to turn in our Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter number 16. Thank you for turning there. Mark, chapter number 16. And we're going to look at a few verses in the New Testament to begin with. Mark, chapter number 16. Let's read verses 1 to 7. Mark chapter number 16. Follow along with me as I read out loud. Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful joy it is to know that Christ is risen from the dead. And Lord, we thank you that because Christ is risen, the world is offered the gift of eternal life through the payment of Christ's blood on the cross and the fulfillment of that payment in his resurrection. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the hope that lives inside every believer, the hope of life after death, the hope of everlasting life, even now. And Lord, I do pray if there's anyone here this morning that isn't sure where they will spend eternity. Lord, I pray that this would be the day that they put their faith in Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior and receive the gift of eternal life once and for all. And Lord, we thank you that you are living today and that you are in our midst. And Lord, we pray that you would work powerfully through your word to touch us in our hearts so that, Lord, we would not only listen, but Lord, we would be changed by your word this morning. And Lord, we desire that the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified in our midst. Lord, help us to honor you as we honor your word. Bless this time, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, here in Mark chapter 16, we begin looking at these verses and we notice a famous tomb that is visited worldwide by perhaps thousands, if not more, every year in the city of Jerusalem. Now, there are many famous tombs around the world. If you go to Egypt, you might see the famous pyramids, which were famous, of course, and still are today because of the tombs that are found inside. The tombs of royalty, pharaohs and their wives and their servants and entombed in this famous monument. And if you went to Westminster Abbey, you would also find people who had been buried within that place because they were notable English men. And there they were buried as an honour to their lives. But what separates the garden tomb from these tombs is not what is there, is not what's inside the tomb. You see, the garden tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ is not famous because of what's inside, because it is famous because of what is not inside. You see, the garden tomb, if you would visit it today, is empty. You see, there is no body that was found. There is no tomb that contains the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because as we read this morning, he is not here. He is risen. as he said. And friends, there is no singular life and no more powerful event that has so impacted the world we live in today than the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death on the cross and his bodily resurrection from the dead. Friends, what we have read this morning is the most powerful event in history that has powerfully impacted our world and has the power to change lives today. I trust you've come to church this morning seeking to find out more about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this morning we're going to look at the power of the risen Christ. The power of the risen Christ. And first of all, right here in our Bibles, in Mark chapter 16, we're going to look at some of the powerful evidences for the resurrection of Christ. You see, the Bible is the living Word of God. And God doesn't hide the details from us. He doesn't just tell us that Christ is risen, but God tells us what happened before and what happened after. And God gives us details so that we would be able to put our faith in the facts and the truth of God's Word. You see, many people think that faith is just a fantasy. You put your trust in something that you're hoping in is actually true. But you see, the Christian's faith is not a fantasy, is it? The Christian's faith is founded on genuine fact, genuine evidence presented to us here in the Word of God. Let's have a look at some of the powerful evidences for the resurrection. Well, the Bible tells us, first of all, about the evidence of the empty tomb. You see, as the women came to the tomb, they weren't expecting it to be empty. As we read through these verses, you'll find these ladies wondering, even sorrowing. How are they going to anoint the body of Christ? How are they going to move that giant stone away from the door? Look, if three ladies couldn't move it, I dare say what the Bible says is true. That it was a stone that was too great to be moved, even by three. It was a large stone that was set in front of the tomb. You see, the Bible tells us when Christ was crucified, he was laid in a solid rock tomb. It was a very a prestigious place to be buried, of course, because Joseph of Arimathea was a wealthy man. But in his love for the Lord, he gave the Lord Jesus Christ his tomb. And the Bible tells us that's where he was laid. An extremely large stone was rolled in front of the entrance, and it was impossible for any one person to move it. The tomb was closed. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 27, not only was the tomb closed with a large stone rolled in front of the door to seal it, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter number 27, also some more details that God wants us to see. Look with me at the book of Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter number 27. There towards the end of the chapter, notice what verse 62 says. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. You see, Jesus' enemies knew what he had said. They knew that he claimed that he would rise again from the dead. And they were afraid that the disciples would fake his resurrection by stealing the body. So they rushed to Pilate in a panic and they begged him literally to set a Roman guard before the tomb so this tragedy wouldn't happen. So that this lie that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and will rise again will not happen. And to ensure that, they begged him to set a Roman guard in front of the tomb. And what did Pilate say? Pilate said in verse 65, you have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. And so they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. You see, the governor of Judea said, yes, I give you permission and I'm going to give you soldiers to make sure that the body does not disappear, that the body cannot be stolen. So they set a Roman guard before the door. Now understand, when we're talking about the Roman army, we are not talking about any kind of army in history. This was the most dedicated battle-hardened, committed army in the world. Now, there was a movie out in the world today called Risen. And in that movie, the soldiers get drunk and they fall asleep in front of the tomb. Let me guarantee you, the soldiers in Roman history would never have left their post, fallen asleep, or gotten drunk on duty, because they would have immediately been put to death. In fact, have a listen to this statement by the Roman Emperor Justinian in his Digest, chapter 49, verse 16, lists 18 offences for which an entire Roman guard unit could be put to death. And these included falling asleep or leaving one's post unguarded. You see, these soldiers were guarding the tomb, we could say, with their very lives. If they failed in their duty, then their entire unit would be put to death. They were not going to get drunk, my friends. They were not going to fall asleep. And in fact, they were posted there expecting that some may come to steal the body. That's why they were there. Now, you know, in those kind of situations, you don't fall asleep. If you know anything about the Roman military, when they set a watch, they have replacements. When one soldier is relieved, another soldier replaces them. Not just one, but more than one. And so they had a number of rotating soldiers around the clock guarding the tomb. Why? Because the governor said, set a watch. Make it as sure as you can. Now, not only was the tomb closed by a great stone that could not be moved easily, but also the tomb was guarded. But lastly, notice what the Bible says, verse 66, the tomb was sealed. Can you see that in your Bibles this morning? Matthew chapter 20, 27, verse 66, sealing the stone. Now, that means that not only was the stone rolled in front of the door, but they set a seal upon the stone. What was that? Well, it was the stamp of authority from Rome itself, that if anybody moved that stone, the seal would break, and that would mean immediate crucifixion for the one that had broken Roman law. That broken the authority of Rome by breaking that seal. You see, the stone could not be moved. It was set in place. It was sealed. And it was guarded. Yet, the Bible tells us, miraculously, 3 days later, 3 days later, the tomb was empty and the body was gone. Disappeared. Now, many wild theories have been invented to try and explain away the resurrection of Christ. One theory is that his body was stolen. I hope you can see this morning that that could never have happened. That was the Jews that made up that lie. When the soldiers came to them, they said, "Don't tell anyone he rose again from the dead. Tell them that their body was stolen, that you fell asleep and the disciples stole the body by night." Now, here's a question. How could they know the disciples stole the body if they were asleep? I don't know about you, but when I'm asleep, I can't see what's happening around me. That's a bit scary at night too. You need to trust in the Lord. But when you're asleep, you can't see what's happening. What a horrible lie. And that was just the first of many, my friends. Some say that Christ didn't really die on the cross, but he suddenly came back to life by the cool air in the tomb. And somehow he managed to roll away the stone from the door. Well, the Bible tells us the medical facts about the crucifixion. My friends, the Bible tells us that the very process of crucifixion itself, even history tells us, was designed to kill a person thoroughly and completely. And the Roman soldiers, just like at the tomb, would not have failed in their mission to put to death one on the cross, because that was their duty before Caesar. They had to ensure that individual had died. And by the medical wounds themselves that Christ received, there was no way that he could possibly live because of the inflicted wounds that he received. Then others might say, well, maybe the disciples imagined that Christ arose from the dead. But as we'll see later on, Christ didn't just appear to one person. He appeared to hundreds. He appeared to many. You see, my friends, Jesus Christ said he would rise again from the dead. And the only answer to this, to the answer of the empty tomb, is that the stone was moved, the guards were subdued and Christ rose from the dead, all by the supernatural power of the living God. And that is in fact what the Bible says. That is, as it has been said, based upon the historical evidence of the protected tomb, any other answer is much more difficult to believe. You need to have faith in foolishness if you believe anything other than the literal bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, what do we know today? Well, we see some powerful evidences for the resurrection, don't we? We've seen the empty tomb and notice the evidence of eyewitness accounts. Now, here in the book of Matthew, as well as the book of Mark, where we began, Matthew chapter 28, let's continue on there. The Bible tells us that the ladies, the women, came to the tomb. They came to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, they thought that he was dead. Now, when they arrived at the tomb, the Bible tells us that the stone had been rolled away from the door. As they entered into the tomb in John chapter 20, the Bible says that they saw the Lord Jesus Christ's grave clothes lying as they had wrapped around his body in the same shape, lying there upon the sepulchre, right there where he had laid. What does that mean? Well, you see, if someone steals a body, the wrappings would not remain. If they unwrapped his body, they would be unwrapped on the floor or elsewhere in the sepulchre. But the Bible tells us this very carefully detailed truth, that his bandages were still wrapped up like a cocoon, as if he had simply risen out of them, stepped out of them. That's what they saw when they went into the tomb. And the Bible tells us that with joy and with amazement, the angel told them not to fear, Christ is risen, and they went to tell the disciples about the news. Now, the Bible tells us in the book of John, chapter 20, that Mary Magdalene met the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. She thought he was a gardener, and then when he called her by name, she turned around and she realized it was her Lord and it was her Master. You see, Mary saw the Lord face to face. Then the Lord met too on the road to Emmaus. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to James. Later that night, he appeared to the apostles, but Thomas wasn't there. So when Thomas came back to where the apostles were and they told him that Christ had risen from the dead, do you remember what Thomas said? Thomas said, I will not believe until I've seen him for myself. So the Lord graciously reappeared to his disciples and he made a personal visit to Thomas. And in John chapter 20, verse 27, he said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. You see, we know that Christ is risen from the dead. Why? Because of the evidence of the empty tomb and because of the evidence of eyewitnesses. Friends, people saw the risen Christ. Christ's resurrection wasn't some made-up myth that was dreamed up by some and believed by many. My friends, a myth cannot change people from the inside out. No, these saw Christ risen from the dead. They saw his living body. They saw his resurrection glory. Christ didn't hide the fact that he is risen. It was no secret. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us Christ was living on the earth after he had resurrected from the dead for no less than 40 days. Now think about that for a moment. 40 days. That's more than a month. He didn't just rise from the dead and appear to a few and then ascend into heaven. For 40 days, my friends, he appeared to many. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 3 to 8 tells us that Christ appeared to Cephas, Peter, and then James, and then up to 500 brethren at once. Christ appeared to hundreds. He proved himself that he was risen from the dead. And right here in the Word of God, we have the written evidence of those who had seen him face to face. We have the evidence of eyewitness accounts. You see, when someone writes an account of an event and others write the same thing, if there is a lie involved, sooner or later the lie will be found out. How? Well, it's just like in a court of law. You bring in the witnesses, don't you? And they're questioned.
And they're asked the same questions. And in confidence, they need to share the details as accurately as possible. And if someone is lying, what's going to happen? The lie is going to be found out. Why? Because there'll be a contradiction. There'll be different, there'll be opposing details and contradicting truths. But you see, in the Word of God, we have no contradiction in the Gospels. All of the intricate details that are given match up and line up one with another. Why? Because they're all the same. They're all the same eyewitness accounts. You see, right here in the Word of God, we have God's evidence for us that the resurrection is the truth. The resurrection was a literal event, and the evidence is written down and can be proven in a court of law to be true, to be acceptable, to be verifiable as evidence of the truth. Professor Thomas Arnold is the author of the 3-volume History of Rome, a famous set of books written on the history of the Romans. And he was the head of the modern history department at Oxford University. Now, this man, as you can understand, knew the importance of verifying evidence in order to confirm historical facts. Now, there are many stories in the world today, aren't there? And you need to be so careful about what you believe, because some things have no evidence at all. And especially if you're going to write a 3-volume series on the history of Rome, you better research the facts. You better look into the details. So Professor Thomas Arnold knew the importance of confirming historical facts. And he said this: "I have been used for many years to study the histories of other times and to examine and weigh the evidence of those who have written about them. And I know of no one fact in the history of mankind which is proved by better and fuller evidence of every sort to the understanding of a fair inquirer than the great sign which God hath given us, that Christ died and rose again from the dead." You see, my friends, Christ's resurrection was a literal event. It wasn't a made-up event. It wasn't a dreamed-up event. And we have the eyewitness accounts of those who saw him right here in the Word of God. And just like Thomas, we need to come to the point where we understand the facts and we believe. You see, Thomas saw the risen Saviour. You might say this morning, "Well, I haven't seen him." Well, that doesn't change the fact that he is risen from the dead. Friends, Christ is risen. Christ overcame the power of the grave. And we have powerful evidences right here in the Word of God to prove his resurrection to be true. You see, the Bible can be tested by anyone who is genuinely seeking the truth. Let me ask you, are you here seeking the truth this morning? Are you willing to confront the evidence of the empty tomb? Christ's body had never been found. By the way, if someone did hide his body, guess what? Eventually it would be found. That many people that were a part of that greater lie for such a long time would finally somehow be found out. But there never has been a body that has been found. And there never will be, my friends, because Christ is risen from the dead. Well, we've seen some powerful evidences to begin with this morning. Notice the powerful effect of the resurrection. You see, a dead man can be remembered, but a dead man can't change anyone's lives. A dead man cannot change the future as Jesus Christ did. But what we see today is the powerful effects of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, on the night of Christ's arrest, his disciples, the Bible tells us, were not out in the open telling other people about who their Savior is and that he would rise again from the dead. Is that right? On the night of Christ's capture, his arrest, the disciples, what does the Bible say? What did they do? They fled. They abandoned him. They were fearful that they would be put to death for following Jesus Christ. So they ran away, literally. They were afraid. Now, Peter, who was the leader of the pack, he was the one that denied Christ the most. When he was interrogated outside the place where Christ was taken, in the court there, when he was interrogated and, yes, accused of being a follower of Jesus Christ, what did he say? He said, "I don't even know this man." I don't even know what you're talking about. And three times Peter denied Christ. You see, he was an example of what the apostles were going through. They were afraid of losing their own lives. They were afraid of being crucified themselves. They were hiding in fear during the crucifixion. The Bible tells us that only John was present at the cross with the women when Christ was crucified. And they were afraid. They were in hiding. And these ones who had followed the Lord for 3 years, these ones that had had such great expectations for what Christ will do, were suddenly defeated and discouraged and in hiding. Now that's where they were. But if we turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 2, we find a surprising contrast and an amazing effect upon the disciples, the apostles, and particularly Peter himself. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 2, verse 14, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." Now, for the sake of time, jump down to verse 32. Verse 32. "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses." Now, don't miss what's taking place in the Bible. On the Feast of Pentecost, when the city of Jerusalem was filled with millions of pilgrims coming to the city to worship the Lord at the temple, to worship their God, the Bible tells us that Peter and the apostles were not hiding in any room. They were not in fear. They were not discouraged. They had not disbanded. Peter himself, the one who denied the Lord Jesus Christ to save his own skin, stood up boldly and courageously and declared that Christ is risen from the dead. Now, friends, someone who's afraid of their life isn't going to do something like that. They're going to run away to the country that's furthest from. But Peter wasn't afraid. Why? Where did that courage come from? Where did that zeal and that boldness come from? Well, friends, it could only come from one thing. As Peter himself said, having seen the resurrected Christ himself, whereof we are all witnesses. You see, the powerful effect of the resurrection was seen in the effect on Jesus Christ followers. You see, these ones didn't only go on to tell others that he is risen, but at the end of their lives, each and every one of the apostles gave their own lives up as a martyr for the sake of the gospel and the truth of the resurrection. You see, these apostles saw the risen Christ, and his resurrection had a powerful effect on them, his followers. Now, not only did the resurrection affect Christ's followers, but also his enemies. You see, not everyone believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, even those who opposed the Lord also believed in him because of his resurrection. The Bible tells us in John chapter 7 and verse 7, even Jesus' own family was opposed to him during his lifetime. The Bible tells us that Jesus' own half-brothers were opposed to him. James was opposed to him. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that the Lord Jesus appeared to James, and after that, James believed and became a leader in the church at Jerusalem. He turned from unbelief to belief. Why? Because he had seen the resurrected Christ. Then we can think of the example of the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul was an enemy of whom the apostles were following. He was no friend to Christians. The book of Acts tells us that Paul was responsible for putting to death the first martyr, the first Christian martyr, Stephen. When Stephen was stoned, there was Paul. He was named Saul of Tarsus. He was looking on, approving of, and rejoicing in the death of someone who believes that Jesus had risen from the dead. And he made it his sole priority as a Pharisee to seek to put to death not only the gospel and the idea that Christ is risen, but everyone who followed and promoted that message. So he was an enemy of the church. He haled people, believers, into prison. He locked them up. He sought to put them to death. Now this man was a man who hated this false teaching of these so-called Christians. He was a zealous enemy of Christ and his followers. Now, from an earthly perspective, Paul had absolutely nothing to gain from becoming a Christian. He had everything to lose. He tells us in Galatians chapter 1 that he had profited in the Jews' religion above many. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was up there with the best of them. He had the highest position among the religious Jews. And he had nothing to gain in believing in the resurrection. But the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 22, when Paul himself, just like Peter, one day stood before the amassing crowds in Jerusalem, he shared his testimony. And what does he say? He says that he has seen the risen Christ, that Christ is risen from the dead. And therefore he declares the gospel unto everyone he meets. What would change someone from being a bitter enemy of Christianity to becoming the most famous, zealous follower of Christ that perhaps has ever lived? Friends, the answer is the same. The same one that we've been looking at all morning. You see, he had seen the risen Christ. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ had such a powerful effect on those that believed in him, those that didn't believe in him initially. Therefore, the gospel went out into the world, and it is in our country today. It is around the world today. Why? Because of the powerful effect of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Friend, it cannot be denied that Christ is risen from the dead. What a wonderful truth that we see in the world today. Christ risen from the dead. Now, Paul, if there was anyone around the time of Christ's death, if there was anyone that could have found the body, it would have been the Apostle Paul. Remember, he was on a mission to disprove Christianity. He would have known the lie that the disciples stole the body. And if he was still looking for the body, he would never have believed in Jesus Christ. Is that right? He would never have been conned. He would never have been lied to or the truth twisted in order for him to believe. Now, the only thing that could have convinced the zealous Jew, the Pharisee, Saul of Tarsus, would have been the literal resurrection of Jesus Christ. And friends, that's what changed him. And that's what led him to tell everyone he met that Christ is risen from the dead. You see, there are many powerful evidences of the resurrection. There are many powerful effects of the resurrection that we can see today. But friend, these things mean nothing if the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ hasn't entered your life. You see, you can know all about the facts and still miss out on what the resurrection of Jesus Christ is really about. Well, we've seen some evidences. We've seen the effect. Notice lastly the powerful entrance into the heart of the believer. John chapter 11. Let's turn there. John chapter number 11. Let's have a look at the verses that were read to us this morning earlier. John chapter 11, verse number 25. John chapter number 11, verse 25. Notice what Jesus said unto Mary. Let's read this verse aloud on two, shall we? John chapter number 11, verse number 25, on two. One, two. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now notice carefully. Not only did the Lord Jesus Christ say that he will rise from the dead, but Jesus Christ said these words very specifically. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Not only would he rise from the dead, but he himself is the resurrection and the life. That through him, all those who believe in him will also have the hope of life after death. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. That's who he claimed to be. Now, any religious guru in the world today can claim this for themselves. They can say that I am the resurrection and the life. They can claim all sorts of fantastical things, but not one religious leader can actually prove it as Jesus Christ did. You see, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And then he rose again from the dead to prove it to be true. And the Bible tells us, for those who repent of their sins and put their faith in Jesus Christ as personal Savior, they can experience the full forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. You see, lastly, we are looking at the powerful entrance of the resurrection into the life of the believer. And you see, in verse number 26, the Bible says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And that is the question for us this morning. What do you believe about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Are you here this morning and you don't believe that he rose again from the dead? Can I encourage you to seek the truth? Can I encourage you to inquire about the evidences with an open heart and with an open mind? Friend, there are powerful evidences. There are powerful effects that we can see because of the resurrection of Christ. But the most important truth is this. Friends, if we do not believe that he is risen from the dead, we cannot be forgiven for our sins. You see, on that cross, the Lord Jesus Christ shed his holy blood to pay for your sins and mine in full. That was the price that was required to pay for the sins of all mankind. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 3, verse 16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And because Christ is risen from the dead, he proved that he paid for our sins. He proved that God's wrath was satisfied by his precious blood atonement. And he proved that he lives today to save all those who turn to him by faith and believe in his payment on their behalf and receives him as Savior. And the question is this, my friend. Believest thou this? Has there been a time in your life that you believed that Christ died for your sins? That in no way can you try to attain heaven in your own strength? Friends, the truth is very simple. If you and I could be some way good enough to get to God, then there was no reason for a payment to be made for your sins and mine. If we could be anywhere near good enough to attain God's favour, to attain heaven, then there's no reason for Christ to die on the cross. And yet he must have suffered and died. Why? Because that was the only way the wrath of God could be satisfied, by the perfect, sinless Lamb of God that was slain to pay for your sins, to pay for my sins. Just before the Lord Jesus Christ breathed his last breath, he said these words, "It is finished." The Lord was saying that our sins had been paid in full. Now there is no more sacrifice for sin. The Bible tells us our sins were paid in full. But the question is, have you turned to the risen Savior and asked him to be your sin bearer, to be your Savior once and for all? The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, don't miss it, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how can you call upon him in whom you have not believed? That's what the verses after that verse say. Friends, if you do not believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, you cannot call upon his name to save you. Friends, Christ said that I am the resurrection and the life. Either you and I believe that to be true or we reject it. If we believe it, the Bible tells us that because Christ is risen from the dead, we who have trusted in his name for salvation after we have died will also rise and we will be with him forever. You see, the resurrection of Christ means the resurrection for every believer unto eternal life. That is the hope we have. Therefore, the Christian no longer needs to fear death, no longer needs to be conquered by the power of sin. No, the Bible says, if we accept Him as our Saviour, we can receive the gift of eternal life right now and have a hope, an eternal hope that never fades away. See, the Christian has no need to fear death anymore. Why? Because He died our death. He paid for our sins. And by His resurrection, we have the promise of eternal life. Many people say, well, how do we know that there's life after death? No one has ever come back from the dead. Yes, there is one that has. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, if you've trusted in Christ as your Saviour, there is no more fear of death. There is no more sting of sin. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20, But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. What does that mean? Because Christ is risen from the dead, His resurrection guarantees the believer's resurrection. His resurrection guarantees the eternal life of all those who trust in Him. What a wonderful promise. You see, that's why Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The Lord isn't asking us to put our faith in an event. The event of the resurrection has to lead us to the one who is the resurrection. Is that correct? It must lead us to putting our faith in Him. In Him. He who is risen. He who is able to save today. Let me ask you this morning, if you don't know whether you're a Christian or not, if you are not sure of eternal life, what are you waiting for? Friends, it is Resurrection Sunday. Christ is risen from the dead. What is stopping you from believing on His name and calling out to Him today for full forgiveness once and for all? What is stopping you, my friend? Well, if there's nothing stopping you, can I encourage you to make that decision today? If there's something stopping you, let me encourage you to ask someone that question that's keeping you back from believing on His name. Friends, what is stopping you? When you believe on His name, Christ makes a powerful entrance into your very life. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, the resurrection, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Old things like what? Fear of death, my friend. That's what's passed away. Fear of damnation in the lake of fire, that's what's passed away. All things are passed away and all things are become new. Friends, what a wonderful joy we have as Christians to know that because He is risen, there is no fear. And we have eternal hope right now in this life and in the eternal realm to come. What a wonderful joy. But friend, if you do not know Jesus Christ as Saviour, understand, because He is risen from the dead, even those who have not believed in Him will also rise again after they die. You see, His resurrection, the Bible tells us, guarantees the resurrection of every living soul. But only those who believe in Him will be resurrected to eternal life. Those who have rejected Jesus Christ will be resurrected to eternal judgment. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. The book of the Revelation, chapter 20. Here we see the resurrection of the unsaved, those who chose to reject Christ. Revelation, chapter number 20, verses 14 to 15. The Bible says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, just as much as the believer has eternal hope and knows that they have eternal life once they receive Christ as their personal Saviour, likewise, the one who rejects Jesus Christ also knows something for sure. They also must know that they will be risen once again, but not to eternal life with God, but to eternal judgment. The Bible says that one who rejects Christ will be cast into a place of eternal separation from God. The lake of fire, a place of judgment, a place of no hope, a place of no light, a place of no escape. Why? Because the greatness of sin is so great that God cannot look upon it. He must separate Himself from it. And the only way that sin can be dealt with is through the payment of Jesus Christ, that He paid for our sins once and for all on the cross. Friends, if you reject Christ as your Saviour, you will be resurrected one day, whether you like it or not. You will stand before the great white judgment throne. The book of life will be opened. And if your name is not there, if you have not truly accepted Christ as your personal Saviour, you will be cast forever into the lake of fire. You see, there are two resurrections in the Bible for mankind. One to eternal life, the other to eternal judgment. Friend, where are you in your heart this morning? If you died right now, are you 100% sure, without a shadow of a doubt, whatever happened to you now, today, or in the future, you know for sure that Christ is your personal Saviour, that you have trusted in His death, burial and resurrection for your personal salvation, and you know for sure your sins are as far as the east as from the west? You know that your heart has been made clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, because there was a time that you repented and that you called upon the name of the Lord to save you, and that was the day that you were saved. Friend, has there been such a time in your life? Has there been such a time? You see, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Salvation is not just a prayer. Friend, if you just prayed a prayer, but you were just talking to your pillow, or you were just talking to the person sitting next to you, or you were just talking to yourself, and you didn't really believe the Word of God in your heart, then that's all it was. That's all it was. Now, it only takes a childlike faith to be saved. But so often there are areas in our heart that we don't want to let go. Sometimes we love our sin too much, so we don't want a Saviour from sin. We want to live as long as we can in our sin, young people. And maybe one day we'll get serious and get saved. Maybe that's you this morning, young person. Seeing how far you can push the line. But you know what Jesus Christ said? He said, "Today is the day of salvation. You need to repent, or else you will likewise perish. You need to receive Christ as your Saviour today, before it's too late, before you're resurrected to eternal judgment." Friend, Christ is risen. Christ is coming again. Do you know for sure where you'll spend eternity? If you have any questions, we're here to help. We're here to help. We're here to take the Bible. We'd love to show you how you can receive the gift of eternal life once and for all. We're here to help with any questions that you might have. Friend, God has put you here for a reason. Let me encourage you not to leave without asking some questions, without letting someone know that you'd like to receive Christ as your personal Saviour. Now, if you are a Christian this morning, friend, we ought to be rejoicing that Christ is risen from the dead. We ought to be rejoicing that His resurrection guarantees our resurrection. For if Christ be not risen, we are of all men most miserable. Now this evening, let me encourage you to come back, because we're going to answer the question, what would life be like if Christ did not rise from the dead? If Christ did not rise from the dead, what would be the consequences? Let me encourage you to come back tonight as we continue to worship our risen Saviour and to glorify Him. But thank God, He is the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in Christ, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The powerful entrance of Christ into the life of the believer. What will you do with Christ today, my friend?